Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We're going to talk to Danny Cunningham of Locked On Cavs. So we're going to have plenty of Cavs to get to. There's going to be plenty of things to roll around with and be able to talk about with Danny and later on with you guys as well. But it came to a stunning revelation while we were talking, or while I was watching the game, on Sunday. Just a stunning revelation while I was watching it. Because, listen, guys, I mean, I'm not saying that the game looked perfect by any means. Like, there was a lot of things. It's an ugly game, weather-wise. And, yeah, sure, the offense didn't look all that great. We're going to get into all of it. But, like, I came to the realization that as sad as this is, I think for the first time this week watching a Browns game, I smiled. Like, honestly, I wish I was kidding. I wish this was, like, a bit I was doing for you, or I'm just playing a gag. No, this is legitimately, I think, the first time I smiled in a week during a Browns game, because I'm thinking back to the weeks, like, there weren't a ton of smiles during any of the time that Joe Flacco was a quarterback, because quite frankly, the offense was abysmal to watch. I would say that I would have smiled during the Browns-Packers win, but I think I was too much in, like, just pure shock to actually have a smile come across my face. Like, I don't even know that that win has fully set in for me, that it was a real thing that happened. Like, I think I fever dreamed. I feel like I fell asleep during the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden, the Browns came away with a win, and then I should have woken up. But it felt like the first time that I had smiled watching a game. I was watching an offense that, well, it might not have been, you know, a perfect showing, and there's a lot of things that weren't great about that offensive game. It was an ugly weather game, and they managed to, at the end of the day, end up with a score of 31 points. Defense helped them out a ton, but, like, there were 31 points on the board. The team looked like they knew how to function. They held the Dolphins to 6. There wasn't a question throughout the entirety of the game whether or not the Browns were in control. I was sitting there with a bunch of family watching this game, and I had somebody come up to me while I was watching it. It was about to be halftime, and they go, wouldn't count the chickens before they hatch, huh? Wouldn't come out and do that yet because this is the Browns team. And I was like, actually, no. Like, in most games, I would agree with you. This doesn't feel like a counting my chickens too early type of game. Now, I can go through, and I think we should all be happy with the win, right? Like, at the end of the day, guys, you get a win. We haven't been able to get many of them. I think these are the things we should cherish. The Browns as a unit, as an entirety of a team, looked pretty good. Ups and downs aside, but you take the whole product. It was a watchable, it was an entertaining product. So you should be happy with it, but I think that there's a level of excitement that you get to when you actually analyze the team. When you actually take away what this win means, because I always go back to the phrase winning solves everything, which is 1,000% true, by the way. If the Browns end this season with 10 wins, everybody will forget about the fact that Grant Delpit said, he forgot what it was like to win. Right, he forgot what that feeling was like, and the constant frustration. You end the season with 10 wins on the season. You're just going to sit there and go, "Yeah, that felt like a million years ago. Nobody's going to think about it." They turned it around. Winning solves it, but it's the fact that winning solves everything. Not winning a game solves everything. Right, like you won a singular game, it is going to it puts you in a feeling of, obviously, yes, we're excited to have the win. It's a good feeling going away from the three games that you had before that you've just found ways to lose over and over again, and it got blown out a couple of times. It puts those in the rearview mirror, but it doesn't just eliminate the feeling entirely either. The frustration you had in the locker room, that's not just poofed away by the fact that, oh, we're better than one team in the NFL. We found a way to win one game, and we played that game well, but it's just one game. If you're going to tell me a loss is just one loss, the win goes the other way as well. And in a lot of ways, I bring up the Green Bay win. Obviously, the two wins looked completely different. I feel like the feeling coming away from them is very similar, though. Like, the frustration had clearly built up with the offense through the first two games, the fact that, you know, Joe wasn't doing anything to help this offense and wasn't looking great, and the entire unit was stinking. Meanwhile, the defense was performing at the top level of the NFL, and you just sort of looked around, and you're like, okay, you just need to find one. You get the win against Green Bay. Nobody came away from that game feeling like the Browns were on top of the world. It was, okay, you got to win, but what does this really eliminate for the feeling in the locker room? Because the offense still didn't look great. They still struggled, but you did find a way to put a win on the board. It makes that next week feel a little bit better. What would be this week following the Dolphins week? You feel a little bit better going through that week, knowing, hey, I just notched one in the belt. But you're still sort of sitting on the edge of your seat being like, okay, was this a one-week fluke? Or can the team continue to look good against teams not named, in this case, the Miami Dolphins? In that case, a Green Bay Packers team that just didn't show up that day. It feels very similarly to that. Because I think if you go back to the feeling in the conversations we had last week around Kevin Stefanski and whether or not you actually take, in fact, it felt like to me the locker room was very close to being lost. Right, like when you have the comments from guys like Miles saying he would have been changing the way that he was running the offense, he would have given the ball to Quinshon Moore. You have the comments from Grant Delpit that we mentioned. That to me is a signifier that you're beginning to lose it a little bit. Like, people are criticizing how you're coaching. The team is not fully behind you. I felt like you were on the brink of losing it. I felt like a loss to Miami probably would have broken the spirit of this team. That just doesn't go away with a singular win. If you had already lost faith in Stefanski, that certainly isn't being brought back by the fact that you beat the Dolphins. Because I can tell you how that feeling goes. Right? That is a feeling of, if you had lost faith entirely in your coach and you go out there and get a win, it's the feeling that the players on the field really earned that win and it wasn't your coach setting you up in that position. It was, oh, we went out there, we performed, and we basically won in spite of, in this case, Kevin Stefanski, instead of with Kevin Stefanski putting us in the right positions. Now, again, that was my feeling, but Joe Bitonio, after the team had notched the win and had taken down the Dolphins, had interesting comments that I wonder if they resonated entirely with the locker room. Here's Joe Bitonio following the 31-6 win over the Dolphins.
We never lost faith. Like, we obviously have been so frustrated with the way things have turned out, but the guys have been working. You know, there hasn't been any complaining in that sense. Like, it was complaining and frustrating because we're losing games, but not in the people that we have in the building and the team we have here. So to get a win like that is special. But we already talked about it. Like, we have to find a way to stack this win. Like, you can't just win a game and then, you know, move on to the next one. We got to find a way to stack this one.
So, again, I think he hits on the fact that one win does not solve it all, but the frustration part versus losing faith is a big difference here. And if it was just frustration in losing and not frustration in a lack of faith in the coaching staff, then you're going to be all right right now if you're Kevin Stefanski. Again, you've earned the win. Not necessarily that, you know, it solves everything, but if you still have the faith of the locker room, you're in a good spot. I just, again, I don't know how long this holds you over. I don't know that this is something that it truly becomes. You have solved all of the issues in the locker room that it felt like we had leading into this week. You're not going to hear comments like what you heard last week going into this Patriots game. I promise you. You're not going to hear them. It's the way that a football team operates. It's the way a human being operates. You're coming off of a positive feeling. You're not going to just flood it with negative ones. But I think instead of a reversal of faith or a complete just erasing of frustration, you're getting a quieting of the noise this week. You're basically just taking that frustration and you're burying it. And I think players in the locker room, I think even that coaching staff, when it comes to frustration, is probably doing the exact same thing that Browns fans are doing right now, which is, that was nice. We don't have much to complain about this week. but I'm waiting to see what you do next week. Right? You string together two wins for me, and you head into a bye with three wins on the season. I start to feel a little bit better about this team. You go out there and you're 7-point underdogs. You win against the Patriots this week. You go out there and you flop. A lot of those feelings very well could just become flooding back. They could just fly back in and have everybody else once again down on the way that this feels. So this is not me telling you not to be excited about the win. Again, I told you I cracked a smile for what felt like the first time this season. You should be excited about the way that the Browns played on Sunday. It was a dominating performance. They looked to be in control of the game from start to finish. You should be excited about that. You should be encouraged by the way that especially the Browns defense played in that game, winning a turnover battle by four, the offense converting drives into points and actually, you know, being able to succeed when the defense sets you up. These are all things that you can be excited about for this team. Well, also, I don't think that it's a message I have to stress to you that it is still a weight on the edge of your seat type of win. It is the exact same feeling after beating Green Bay, despite the two outcomes looking differently, that you do sit there and think, what does come next week? Right? What does this look like once again? Well, you're not put into a position where Miami's not going to be able to throw the ball and Tua's set up in a point where there's high winds and Tua can't throw in high winds. It's rain and Tua's not very good when the weather condition actually, you know, gets a little colder, it gets a little rainy. That's where Tua tends to struggle. You take that out and let's say you get good weather next week in Foxborough. You go through and you play the Patriots in good weather. You're facing Drake May. Do you actually have what it takes to be a competent offense once again? And you're going to find out really quickly just how much faith there is in Kevin Stefanski. It's not going to be this week, but when we roll around after a Patriots game, I think a lot of people are going to be more decided on their feelings of Kevin Stefanski, both inside and outside of the building. But again, this is a game I walked away from, honestly, almost top to bottom, pretty pleasantly surprised. Like, again, I think the offense had their hiccups. I don't think it was a fantastic moment in time where you go back and you look and you go, wow, that was the moment where they really turned the corner. They really figured things all out. Like, it was 116 passing yards from Dylan Gabriel, no passing touchdowns. There's a lot of short field set up by your defense, a lot of things. But at the end of the day, we were calling for the Browns to break the streak of not scoring 31. I sat here on Sunday morning and told you they were going to score 13 points because I thought the weather was going to kill them. And I still predicted a win, and I thought the weather was going to kill them on both sides. You found a way to fight through that. Like, you do put up 31 points. You have to do that in a various amount of ways as every NFL franchise. Okay, you broke that streak. Now show me that you can do it over and over again. It's not just the fact that you can go out there and score more than 20 points. It's the fact that you're an NFL offense who should rather consistently be scoring more than 20 points. Again, this is a feel-good win, but it is not a race-all win. My feeling on this team does not change very much following it. But I'll take the smile and I'll run with it. 216-474-0092. How much of the locker room problems does a win over Miami actually solve? You guys can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. We got more Browns talk on the way as well. The Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to our very own Daryl Ryder as we do in every single Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Get a Grips at 9. Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, going to be talking to him at 9:20. NBA season starts tonight. Cavs season starts at MSG tomorrow. A lot to break down in the NBA, a lot to break down with the Cavs before we get into the season. We'll do it all with Danny. It's a Blind Tier Tuesday. We'll bring in Michael in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. How much of the locker room problems does this win actually solve? We'll get into that as well. You scored 31. Might have just been a little bit of makeup for a really, really ugly face of this team. All coming in 5 minutes. It's overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys here until 11 on The Fan. You're talking about a room full of athletes, a room full of professionals that the only goal they have when they step out onto a field on any given Sunday is to go out there and win a game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, going out and winning 2 of 8 isn't exactly getting your job done. You don't feel like you're successful in your career. If you go out there and win 2 of 4, it's like, okay, well, you know, you have good days, you have bad days, so we need to string together more of the good ones, but it's not all that much of frustration. But you can't get through 8 weeks and sit at 2-6 and act like everything is going to be okay. That is a team that is going to be upset, especially if you turn things around and you look at it and it just doesn't look great. Right? If you go back to a poor offense that can't score more than 20 points, if you go back to being the same team that you've been since week 14 of last year, where the offense just looks bad and it feels like there's no answer, again, then not a whole lot goes and actually changes here in my mind. But I want your guys' thoughts. 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Alfonso's in New York. What's going on, Alfonso?
What's up, Jake? How we doing tonight, man?
Well, you're doing pretty good. I was smiling watching a Browns game, so that's going to carry through the rest of my week. I'm going to be good for the rest of the week now.
Right. Yeah, me too. You know, I don't really think it solves anything for me. And listen, I understand we got to win. We need this win. Mm-hmm. But it still doesn't really show me anything about the offense. The offense didn't drastically get better. Miami just played bad, and Quinshon Judkins is the real deal. You still didn't take shots down the field. Yes, it was terrible weather. You didn't need to do that. But you get my point, though. We didn't see anything from the offense that excited me besides Quinshon Judkins. And the defense, they finally, you know, they forced turnovers, because that was the biggest pet peeve from the Jim Schwartz defense is they didn't force turnovers. They barely forced turnovers. They got stopped. They never forced turnovers. So the defense set you up in good field position to score the touchdown. So, listen, I don't think that – listen, Dylan Gabriel, he did okay. He didn't turn the ball over. He could have had – he should have had 2 interceptions, but – whatever, they didn't hurt us, you know, they weren't picked off, thank God. But Dylan Gabriel, man, I love him. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think that he is a starter in the NFL because, listen, he can't see off of the offensive line. He's too short, and that's nothing against him. You know, he didn't choose to be short, but that's just the fact of the matter is, and I think you will see Shador after the bye week, in my opinion. But, you know, that's how I feel about it. But I want to know what you feel about that.
Yeah, Alfonso, I appreciate you making the call as always. A lot of it's kind of a similar feeling. I mean, I don't think we're getting Shador after the bye. I think we got a longer rope before we get there. But basically, everything else was a lot of the ways I walked away. It's like, okay, offense performance. It's really the way I feel like I've watched them play under Dylan Gabriel. Steelers game aside, because they look terrible. But like, it was a lot of going back to Dylan against the Vikings. It was like, okay, well, the offense looked fine. It didn't look great. And again, a lot of that comes into weather conditions. Like you talked about leading into this game last week. It's like, I don't know how much evaluation I can truly have on a quarterback in a game like this. It's going to be raining. There's high winds. You're not going to air the ball out. You're not going to throw it downfield. You might take a couple of shots of doing it, but they're not going to be great opportunities. You don't expect those to be converted on days like Sunday. So you still go out there and find a way to score 31. It's a tip of the cap. Like, yeah, the offense didn't put up gaudy numbers. I didn't learn very much about this offense other than the fact of the things they already thought were true. They can run the football, and Quinshon Judkins is pretty darn good. But I didn't come away from this game feeling like I learned a ton. In a lot of ways, I walked away from this game feeling like you were putting lipstick on a pig with 31 points. Like, in the exact same manner, the exact same sentiment of what I just said, it is still an ugly offense that really couldn't produce. Now, again, they get sort of a pass this week on not being able to look great. You do. Like, the weather does factor into that. Offenses aren't supposed to look good. And you look on the other side, a much more experienced offense. I think a lot of people would certainly argue a much more explosive offense than the Dolphins looked far worse than you did on that day. And the weather conditions clearly were playing an issue with Tua and the receiver's ability to catch and hold on to the ball. And you had a fumble in that game. You had multiple interceptions. You had multiple drops slash fumbles. And Blake Whitehart had a ball directly in his hands and it just squeezed out. Like, again, the elements played a factor. It doesn't really give me hope beyond this week in a way. It's like, yeah, do I know that this team can win and they can beat bad teams? I think there's something there. But in terms of the offense itself, it's lipstick on a pig. It's congratulations, you got over the 20-point mark. You looked better than you have in weeks past. But I don't know how replicable that is. I don't know how much you can go through and expect the defense to create a +4 turnover margin and set you up in great positions to succeed. Now, I'm going to throw you a stat that I've absolutely doctored to fit my agenda, okay? I'm not going to lie to you and act like I didn't. I picked this number very specifically. There was one scoring drive for the Cleveland Browns that was more than 55 yards. Right? There was one that was 53 yards. And then obviously you had the big one, which is 83, where they actually sustained a full drive. But you had one that was over 55 yards of offense. You were set up in great positions. You had to go half the field for almost every time you had to go and score out of the ball. That's not a sign of a great offense. Like, yes, you succeed when the defense sets you up in a position to succeed. That is important. But this is also an offense that needs to be able to create and sustain on their own. And right now, they just cannot do that. So, again, we take the win. I'm happy with it. I just don't know how much it does for me moving forward. But again, 216-474-0092. How much of the locker room problems does this win solve? Todd's in Ward 1. What's going on, Todd?
I am not convinced that it solves anything in the locker room at all. They know they're the best of the bottom feeders. They know that. They know at least they're that, rather. And being best of the bottom feeders does give you some advantage at this part of the season.
Yep.
You have 3 games left in your division, so those are 3 possible wins, as there are 3 possible losses. You have 10 total games left. That's a big deal. But you got to win 3 just to get even. You got to win 3 games just to get even, and you have to get them in a row. So I doubt it solves anything. However, I will say this, as you heard me say numerous times before, mm-hmm. I wanted the defense to score, and the defense did score, and it was Campbell. That was the guy I was rooting for to get the pick 6 on him. And New England's quarterback is really not that good. He's good, but he's not that good. He just has an impressive line that hasn't faced a defensive line like they're about to face this coming Sunday. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. Best of the bottom feeders sometimes get into the playoffs and do well. You know, other teams get injured all along the year. Things can go wrong for them too. And to all y'all that say Gabriel is too short, I will repeat something I said all along. He's had offensive linemen that were 6'7" his whole college career, man. He knows how to throw over tall dudes. He knows how to throw over tall dudes.
Yep. I mean, I don't think he's looked that bad, Dodd.
I mean, neither. He's serviceable. He looked just as good as the Ravens quarterback that first Super Bowl they won. What's his name, Trent? Is it Dilfert?
Trent Dilfer, yeah.
He looks just as good as that dude. He's not as tall, but, you know, so what? I'm down with the Browns and the dog pound. I'm looking forward to another win this weekend. Let's see how it goes.
I like it, Todd. I appreciate it as always. I mean, listen, there's a lot of things. Like, you know, I'll tell you right now, Browns are not on paper supposed to win this game. They are currently slated as 7-point underdogs to the Patriots. And I do think Drake May is a really good quarterback. Todd's not that convinced. I'm convinced that Drake May is a really good quarterback. And I think that's where part of the scare comes in of next week and looking forward, which we have plenty of time to do later on this week. I'd like to soak in the win. All right. I don't get to talk to you guys on Mondays. I'm trying to soak in the win a little bit on a Tuesday. I get I'm not the most optimistic person in the world with the way we're talking. I'm trying to soak it in. I don't want to look forward to the Patriots quite just yet. But I think that a lot of the criticism on Dylan Gabriel's fair, and we're going to talk about it with Daryl. We're going to talk about it in the 8 o'clock hour, really on Dylan and the way we evaluated him. But like, I thought he looked fine. Thought he looked okay. He hasn't really impressed me in a lot of ways. I thought he played fine. He did what he had to do to win the game on Sunday. Did not turn the ball over despite a couple of turnover worthy plays. He didn't actually turn it over. Protected the football. Led drives that were short, but got the team into the end zone. Got points on the board. You scored 31. This is not the week necessarily to be overly critical of the Browns offense. I think you can be skeptical though. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
Happy
Victory Tuesday.
Happy Victory Tuesday to you, too. I'd love to tell you Happy Victory Monday, but we don't get that opportunity, so Happy Victory Tuesday.
I know, that's why I'm calling. it's thank God the Browns won. I mean, you know, we really needed that win, and, you know, I'm going to be, you know, optimistic, not pessimistic. I think, you know, look at some of these rookies are really showing out and showing well, and I've got to give Andrew Berry credit. That was a very good draft he had, so... I mean, unfortunately, you know, they still don't have the quarterback completely solved, but, you know, at least Dylan Gabriel looks competent, you know, so you can't argue with that. And, you know, we'll see what happens for next year's draft. Hopefully they'll find a premier quarterback in that draft. But I am definitely, you know, I got to give the Browns credit. You know, I think they can win this Sunday at New England. I think New England's overrated. I think their record's kind of overinflated by playing the AFC East, which is really bad. And so I think we can win that game. Originally, the line was set at 7.5 points. Now it's down to 6.5 points. So I think there is a little belief that the Browns have a little bit of a chance. So I think they can win this game. I hope David Njoku can play. I think he's really key because we don't have great wide receivers, you know. And so, you know, he really kind of like tips the scales, just like I thought Quinshon Judkins was going to tip the scales, and he has. I think you got to have a healthy David Njoku out there to give us a chance. So I don't know how badly hurt he is. Do you have any update on or any feeling on David Njoku? Then I do want to give you a Cavs take because, you know, thank God the NBA season starting tonight and the Cavs are playing tomorrow. So I think the Cavs are going to make it to the NBA Finals, and I think tomorrow is going to be a great first step.
I love it, BP. I'll answer your question. I am excited for Cavs. Again, we're going to talk to Danny Cunningham coming up at 9:20. We have plenty of Cavs coming in that span of time. We're going to talk about it. We're going to preview the season a little bit, but I have no feeling on Njoku, by the way, other than what the Browns have told us, which is the same thing they tell us every single week when there's an injured player, which I'll give you my best Kevin Stefanski impression, which, well, you know.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mary Kay, right now we're just looking at it, and he's really considered day-to-day at the point. And the next thing you know, Jack Conklin's missing 3 weeks worth of football, and it's like, guys, I thought he was day-to-day. This feels a lot more like week-to-week. We got no feeling on Jack Conklin. Like, it's the exact same thing. It feels the exact same way. Now, as critical as I've been on the offense in saying that they haven't looked great, I will say that, like, there is part of this, too, that should be considered a massive positive as well. Like, this was the one game where I looked at it and on paper prior to the game, right? Whether or not included, I would have been like, you should have scored 20. There's no excuse for not scoring 20 against this defense. When you get to the day of and it's a monsoon, I'm looking at it and I'm going, this is the one game you get a pass for not scoring 20. Like, if you can't look good today, I can look at it and be like, I know the Browns' offense isn't good, but, like, yeah, most teams don't score 20. Most teams don't look very good in their offensive performance on days like these. And the Browns didn't just hit 20, they blew through 20. Like, they go out there and score 31 and look like, in the box score, a completely different team at the end of the day. There is credit to be had for that. Like, this team found a way to put points on the board. It doesn't always have to be the prettiest thing in the world. There's teams you can go through and look at for the entirety of a year that just don't look like there's an electric offense behind them. 49ers tend to be one of them, by the way. Shanahan tree, ring a little bit of a bell here. But, like, tend to be those type of offenses that, they just don't look like they're that great, but you put a good defense behind them and they run the right style of offense to support it. Makes a lot of sense. It can all add up. It can all work. The Browns do get the credit for actually going out there and scoring and winning a game and winning a game in dominant fashion. There is a path to victory looking at it after that game. And I think it does allow you to go back and look at the Steelers game and go, yeah, handing the ball off to Quinshon 12 times is probably not a pathway to victory. You probably do need to stick with the run, even if it's not a pretty offense, even if it doesn't lead to this team putting 10 wins on the board. Your best chance at getting wins probably does run through the run game and not being able to abandon it until you legitimately have to against the clock. You have to be able to run the ball. It is a recipe for success that the Browns did find on Sunday. There is something there to take away, and it's not just, oh, it was bad weather. Sure, that's why Miami didn't match you. That's why Miami's offense only scored 6 points. But your offense actually showed you something that is somewhat repeatable. All right, 216-474-0092. When you go through and look, was this lipstick on a pig? Was it 31 points actually something, or is it just a product of being able to go out there and score for an offense that's still really bad? Mike and Stowe, Chris in North Ridgeville, I see you guys online. We're going to get to you coming up here in 5 minutes, as well as the station buzz right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. But we're also going to have the station buzz coming your way here in just a couple of minutes. But I want to do very quickly, get out, do a couple of your guys' calls. Let's go to Mike in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good evening, Jake. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Oh, you know, hanging in there. It was nice to get it was nice to see a game where we kind of felt good most of the way, you know, not like we had to wait till the end. You know, it's been a long time for that one. I mean, that really felt good. But you were asking about the locker room, and I got a couple things to put on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that they have to learn, you know, so I still, you know, we were one of the oldest teams in the league last year, and, you know, we did a lot of overhaul on our roster. We got a lot younger, and it's going to happen even more next year. I mean, the writing's on the wall with, you know, all those fives and sixes and, you know, and obviously 2 ones and everything else, 2 twos, right? And so there's a lot of change coming next year, but I really think it's kind of like, it's like this, like, I've always wondered, like, who is our leader of our locker room? Because, like, the guys that you would think at this point in their careers, like, you know, Miles and Denzel, you know, those kinds of guys, you know, and Joel, they're more of the, they're not the really loud guys. They're not, you know, Miles is loud about his contract sometimes, but other than that, you know, he's not, but you know, like this, like last week, you know, kind of getting out there talking about, you know, losing and stuff like that. It bothers me when those kind of guys do that. They have to understand. I know they're frustrated. Look, fans are too. But, you know, they have to get there with that and understand that, you know, that they're, this is what kind of season we're going to have. And I just get, you know, really frustrated. Those guys should be the ones to be helping the young guys understand. So I'm just waiting to see. I really think we're going to have one of these, whether it's Carson or Mason or, you know, one of these young kids, you know, whether it's Grant, somebody's going to step up and become more of a leader and kind of take over. And I'd love to see that happen because we need one. The Drake May comment from Todd, I'm with you, man. I'll take him in a second. Yeah, no problem on that. I think he's a really good quarterback. So we got our hands full this weekend. And one last quick little tidbit. Tired of people calling in and cutting on Dylan about his height, about, you know, can't see over. Look, I'll tell you two facts, people. Number one, we thought the same thing about Baker Mayfield when he came in the league, and look where we are with him now. And number two, look, if you really are smart and you understand things, you go look at Oregon's tape, look at their offensive line. Those guys are 6'5", 325 also. So these people that he's been throwing behind, over top of, in Oklahoma as well, they're just as big as a pro line. So that doesn't wash. So when people want to call in and talk that about Dylan, let's throw some intelligence, not just the simple, easy, low-hanging fruit observation about a shorter guy. Thanks, Jake. Have a great evening, sir.
Yep, absolutely, Mike. I appreciate you making the call. And you, comment bugs me to no end, by the way. The height comment really does bug me. Like, I'll make a couple of jokes here and there about Dylan and his cleats and maybe adding a couple of inches of height. Like, at the end of the day, hey, when I make the comment, I feel like it's good fun. When we make the comment of, well, Dylan's not tall enough to be an NFL quarterback, it's like, there's size concerns, not whether or not he's tall enough to throw over the line, whether or not he's actually a big enough body to stay healthy in the NFL and sustain the hits. I think those are fair comments, but like, guys, he's been short the entire time that he's played football and played at multiple Division I programs, high-ranking Division I programs. He's currently playing in the NFL and looking just fine. Have I seen Dylan Gabriel really get a ball batted down that often? Like, I'm not thinking of one off the top of my head. In a short game, by the way, like, all they do is throw short, and he hasn't had too many batted down. It's not that big of a deal. Real quick, let's go to Chris in North Ridgeville. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Jake. Good to hear your voice, man. Yeah, so when I'm looking at the Browns Dolphins game, I thought maybe it was a little more obvious that was a game that we could definitely take, just because I don't really think I think the Browns defense was the X factor. I think you nailed it on the head. So if you look at their stats in the season, their offensive stats aside from the interceptions, they're pretty comparable with yards, even with Achan back there. So I just felt like that was kind of the thing that was going to put us over the edge for that game. And then when I'm looking ahead for the Patriots, I am a little bit optimistic. Like, I think the Browns could pull one off, because I think I look at the first six games the Browns had, and it was pretty brutal. And maybe not every team was great, but they had a tough schedule. But the Patriots really didn't play anybody. Even when they played Pittsburgh, their team was kind of depleted. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think they had Joey Porter Jr. or Alex Highsmith when they played them. And the Bills' defense is really not good, and that's kind of been their weak spot. So I think the Browns' defense could have another big game, as long as they can get the, you know, maybe the play action going or something. I think the Browns could really pull one out on Sunday. So, yeah, that's all I got. So go Browns, and good to hear you, Jake.
Absolutely. Go Browns. Chris, I appreciate you making the call. I mean, listen, I love to hear the optimism for the Patriots game, and that the Browns fans, we really do feel like there's a chance to win that, because I don't feel like that game is shut and close. Actually, I'll tell you the early thing. We usually save this for Sundays when we're talking odds and lines, but you tell me I can get Browns plus 6.5. If I can get it plus 7.5, especially, I'd be hammering Browns plus 7.5. I don't see this team losing a ton of games if the offense can be competent and actually found something out by that margin of victory over and over and over again. They should be playing relatively close games. And to that point, Real Xavier P over on X and our social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, said Quinshon Judkins had 16 for 1 yard or negative yards, but we stuck with it. That's how you build confidence in offensive line and create an identity. Miami game could create the blueprint for offense and defense, but if we go back to the vanilla offense and defense throwing 40 plus times, we wasted a win. And also had tweeted out me earlier about creating an identity for this team and running the ball and basically, once again, building up that confidence and having an opportunity to have this game be something. Again, it absolutely can be. This can be the game that you use to jumpstart and do everything else. You just got to believe that's what it is. And you actually have to stick with that blueprint and stick with that plan right now if you're the Browns. All right, we're going to talk to Daryl Ryder coming up here at 8 o'clock, get into more of this with him, but let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off with Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on today with Baskin and Phelps, talking about the perception of Kevin Stefanski both before and after the win.
Kevin Stefanski's feet were not held to the fire inside the building. This organization knows that Kevin has a very, very young offense right now, a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back, rookie tight end, rookie receivers. There are tackle problems. So they're not expecting him to take necessarily this roster to the Super Bowl this year. They know they have the two first-round picks next year. There's a lot of focus on the 2026 draft. And I just don't think that it was the way people thought it was heading into that football game. But certainly, it was the get-right game that they absolutely 100% needed. And when you look at it, they really should have at least one more victory right now. And if that were the case, they would still be right in the thick of it.
So I've sat here and said that, you know, I struggle to see how Kevin's job isn't even remotely in jeopardy. And I still in some ways feel that way, because I think you have questions of how great a head coach Kevin is, even following a win. I need to see more out of Kevin. That's externally. Like, in terms of looking around here, that makes sense. And I think a loss to Miami certainly would have brought that heat up. Inside the building, like, I don't know that Jimmy Haslam should be walking up to Kevin Stefanski last week and being like, hey, man, we got to start putting some wins on the board, or, you know, I might have an ugly conversation coming up here soon. You played the six of the toughest games in your schedule to start the year, are figuring things out with rookie quarterbacks, are clearly dealing with personnel problems on the offensive line and in the wide receiver room. It's like, it's not really the time to do it. Like, you should let your coach probably get his feet under him against the bad teams that you have coming up, the middle tier and lower tier of the NFL, the easier part of your schedule, before you make that call. I told you guys, I don't think firing a head coach in the middle of the season really does anything. Could have been a dead man walking after this week. You bought yourself some more time before that's the conversation, though. But it shouldn't surprise anybody at all that nobody's in that building going, might just have to be looking at getting rid of Kevin this week. I don't know. That might be the true problem. It might be, but you're just going to throw who? Who are you putting in a head coach that's fixing this? We talked about this. Make Jim Schwartz a head coach? Not sure that's the route you want to go down for the next 5+ years of trying to get this team on track. Jim Schwartz as a head coach hasn't had very much success. Detroit Lions would tell you exactly that. Not great. Like, it's not the move that you necessarily want to be making right now. The end of the season is a time for evaluation. Browns will have that evaluation. Let's back it up with Lance Reisland, Cleveland.com as well, on today with Afternoon Drive, and talk about Dylan Gabriel's efficiency and how he played.
I think he's a starter in this league. I will say this, though. After 12 quarters, one being over in Europe, one being against a very tough Pittsburgh team that he didn't play well, he also got hammered, so he showed a little bit of toughness. And then in a rainstorm, I just think it's too early to say he can't do it or he can do it. You have tackle issues. You have receiver issues. And I get that other quarterbacks have had that, but these are guys, this is where they're at. And for me, I like his efficiency. I like the fact that they won. I think he's at a good step. As he moves forward, he's going to have to get better getting the ball downfield. He's going to have to improve his accuracy over 15 yards, and he's going to have to keep taking those steps. But where he's at right now, I think he's doing a very solid job with lots of room for improvement. But I can't evaluate him until he gets, until they get into some normal game.
This is where I look at it, and people who have already started calling for Shador, and I'll tell you right now, I think very highly of everybody on this station, and is a fellow, you know, content creator sitting here, I can tell you that there's some segments that I have that are really good and I feel very confident. And then sometimes they'd be like, we did it. We talked about it. And I thought that was rather stupid. I think the entire conversation on whether or not Shador should have played at the end of that game is the dumbest conversation on the planet. What are we talking about? Like, why on earth are we? Is that the focus after 31-6? Does Shador need to see the field? Guys, we've seen three games of Dylan Gabriel. Three games. I get it that we're all just basically looking over the shoulder going, Shador's sitting right behind him. Are we interested in watching Shador Sanders? Of course we are. We're interested in watching Shador. Like, It is the dumbest conversation. Dylan has looked fine in some really bad spots. He had your first career start overseas. The Steelers game, he was just flat out bad against a rather good defense. And then he played in the rainstorm. Look, let's give the kid a little bit of room. He's going to get six games, probably bare minimum. I wouldn't just be drawing any conclusions quite yet off of that. But I think Lance is right. He's looked efficient. He's looked fine. There's definitely room to improve for him. Let's just go to the trifecta of Cleveland.com. Let's talk a little bit of Cavs really quick. Chris Fedor on today as well with Baskin and Phelps talking about what this season really is about for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I think it's the clearest path that Donovan Mitchell is ever going to have to cement his legacy. And he wants his legacy to be a champion. He doesn't want MVPs. Like, yes, he wants all these things. He wants all the notoriety that comes with it. He wants the MVP. But he wakes up every single day, and he works as hard as he does every single day to win a championship. And from the Cavs' perspective, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing for them. This is their time. I don't think they want to say championship or bust. They just don't want to put those kinds of expectations on them. But I think it's finals or bust for sure.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, it's 1,000% in this East, finals or bust. I wouldn't go as far to say championship or bust, but you're getting real close there. Like, you're not far away from it. Plenty of conversation coming around the Cavs when we talk to Danny Cunningham at 9:20 of Locked On Cavs, but that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, our very own Daryl Reuter to break down a Browns 31-6 win over the Dolphins on overtime with Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.